Father, we just thank you and praise you today, Lord, because you won. You won. And we are winners with you. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but your word will not pass away. And the things that you're doing and have done and are doing in us and in this world are eternal things. They're eternal. Eternal consequences. And at the end of life, at the end of this life on this earth, is heaven and hell. And you're not willing that any should perish. But some will perish because they won't receive. They won't receive. Help us to receive today what you want to feed us, your children, what you want to give us. Father, I'm just asking you to do that and open our understanding. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. A lot of these scriptures are going to be in Amplified. Go with me to John 14, John 14, verse 1. Now, we have, sometimes we have a problem having two different Amplified versions, but I think we're the same here. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. You believe in... Listen carefully. You believe in, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on God. Believe in, and adhere to, and trust in, and rely also on me. Don't, and in King James, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions. But believe is incorporated in believe is you believe in, you adhere to, you trust in, and rely on God. So believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And to the place where I am going, you know the way. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's funny how you don't see things. And I'm going to admit that I didn't see this before. I mean, I knew it in a certain way, but I never looked at it this way. Where's he going? See if I'm the only one. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Cross.
Anybody else? I didn't say he was wrong. I don't know what I ever thought. I thought heaven or something. You know, he's preparing us a place, and I'm thinking, well, he's the way to the place. And I know before he says, you know, afterwards he says, you know, I'm the only way to the Father. So this is where he's going. This is the way. It's a way to the Father. There is no other way. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Through me. Now, we know the King James says by, but it means the same thing. If you had known me, if you had learned to recognize me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Then Philip says, hey, Lord, show us the Father, because to see the Father, that is all we ask. Then we shall be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this long time, and you do not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me does the, or in parentheses, his works, his own miracles, his deeds of power. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. So, we've got to believe, you know, that Jesus was here. Now, they were walking with Jesus, and he says, look, the Father is with me, and I'm with the Father always. And I'm telling you that I do not say on my own authority. I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority, of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works. And it's the same thing with us. Jesus is our example. Jesus is how we do it. He came in the flesh. He was just the same as we are. So what he did, we do. And the way we do it is the way he did it. So he only did those things which his Father told him to do. He only said the things that his Father told him to say. And he said, what I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority or and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works, his own miracles, his deeds, and his power. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. 12. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. Now, if we go back to verse 1, where it says that if you believe in, adhere to, trust, and rely on, and put that in there, believe, adhere, trust in, and rely on Jesus Christ, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. But just like Jesus did them, it's going to be the same way because we're to walk with God, and God wants to walk with us. And so we have this relationship with God, but we're not doing what we want to do when we want to do it. I heard that today too. What we're doing is what we're hearing the Father say to us. What we're saying is to say what the Father is saying to us. And what we do is what we see the Father doing. And this calls for relationship. Because there's going to be many that come to him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name and cast out devils. And we've done many for works in your name. And he'll say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I don't know you. So we've got to have this relationship. It isn't just doing the works. It's knowing him. It's seeking him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is Jesus Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So it's his presence. It's his presence. It's his presence. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us into what?
All truth.
And we don't know the truth without him. Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O God. In Hebrews, when he said that, he said to take away the first that he may establish the second. It isn't rules and regulations. It isn't this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what it is, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Amen? The Spirit of God is never going to lead me astray. The Spirit of God is never going to lead me away. In fact, but the thing of it is, the power is not me. The power is in me. The power is in you. He's put the treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency may be of God and not of us. But we got to know that it's there. And we got to believe that he's there. That the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in us. That's the promise of the Father. And how he was led, we're to be led. So, 13, and I will do, I myself will grant, you know, it says, I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as representing all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled through the Son. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you, I will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name as presenting all that I am. If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, that he may remain with you when? How much? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They can't welcome him. They can't take it. They can't take him into their hearts because the world doesn't see him or know him or recognize him. But we know him and we recognize him, for he lives with us constantly and will be in you. He's telling the disciples to live in you constantly and will be in you. Will be in us. That is the promise of the Father, that we should be filled with his Spirit. And we walk in the Spirit. One of the promises is we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we don't, and this got me tripped up a lot. I think if I walk perfectly, then I'll be filled with the Spirit. But I can't walk perfectly without the Spirit. You get to the place where you're doing what God wants you to do and being what God wants you to be, not trying to do it, but receiving it and believing it, and God does it. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's the healer. Amen? So, and like Paul said, I can do all things. We can do all things, but it's through him that strengthens us, and he strengthens us by his Spirit. And how do we get the Spirit? Ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's how it is. We just ask for it. We seek it. We desire it. But it's not a simple ask. Like, now I lay me down to sleep, give me the Spirit. We have to hunger for it. And I think the closer you get to God, and it was mentioned here today too, and I can't remember who said what. Jennifer. I think of David. When you think of David, and he sinned with Bathsheba, and then he's confessing his sin, and he's trying to get right with God, and he says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He really didn't care what other people might think about what he did. He's only worried about what God, about his relationship with God. Don't leave me, God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. God's able to do that. Amen? He's our deliverer. He's our healer. He's the one. We are his workmanship. We're not our own workmanship. We believe in him. We believe in his promises. And therefore, we receive that divine nature. And that causes us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. But it's his nature. It's not us causing that nature to be got into us. It's all by grace that we're saved through faith, through believing in it. It's all a gift. It's all from grace. Amen? 21. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Whoever really loves me will be loved of my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Now, we can be thrown off by the word commandments. It does mean things that are written down, but it also means what he's saying to me. Being obedient. In the little things in life. Not just the big things, but the little things. What we think is little. Because everything to God, he's preparing us. When we think we're not doing anything spiritual, he's still watching us. And that's all still part of either receiving the Spirit or offending the Spirit. If somebody cuts me off, and I let it get into me, and I start thinking evil of the guy. What am I doing? I'm sinning against the Spirit. It grieves the Spirit. And it says, don't grieve the Spirit. And that's exactly why Satan has the guy cut you off. Because he wants you to get in the flesh. Amen? Where was it? I was going somewhere and I was a little bit late. And you know when you're late, you always get behind somebody who's not in a hurry. And it was on a road, I couldn't get the guy, couldn't get around the guy. And I'm thinking, what bugs me a lot when I'm driving is when some guy gets on my tail and there's no place to pass. And you're thinking, amen. You wish you had something you could just push a button and that's the flesh. But anyway, so I'm following this guy out the road here. And I have to get to this place, and I'm running late, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And then I'm thinking, well, he must be looking for an address or something. And then I'm following him a little bit more, and I don't know who's driving, if it was male or female. But anyway, driving a little more, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, they're learning how to drive. That's why they're going 25 and a 35-mile speed limit. And I want to go 40, And so we're going on it. And then, so I found myself getting close to him, and all of a sudden it came to me, you don't like that when people follow you like that. I said, yeah, but I just want them to get the idea that I have to be somewhere. Anyway, they did turn off, and then I went, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and what they did was they turned around in the road and went back the other way, so I don't know what they're driving around. The cares of this life. Satan's always trying to get us looking at what's wrong. And like Jeff was saying about, it's easy to look at people and say, well, what's wrong with them? And there are things that are wrong with them. And sometimes we have to say things, and especially to pray about it. But there are a lot of things that God's doing that is right. Amen? And especially in this nation, God has done a miracle. God has done some good things. Amen? But we need to pray. We need to continue to pray for our country. And pray for those in authority over us. And as we're led by the Spirit of God, see, as we get this in us, written in our heart, that He's actually inside of me. He's actually inside of you. And He wants to give me what to pray, how to pray. He's not going to hear me because I say it 3,000 times. He's going to hear me because I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying according to the Spirit. I'm not just praying according to what I think he ought to do about the situation. It's just like a prophet. We think of the word prophet, a lot of times we think of, telling the future. But in the New Testament, he said he poured his Spirit out on all flesh, right? Our sons and our daughters. And then he said he poured the Spirit out on all flesh. Sons and the daughters shall prophesy. And then he said, on your handmaidens and your... I can't remember the other one. But anyway, on the male and the female, he's going to pour out his Spirit and you're going to prophesy. It isn't just saying what's going to happen in the future. Another definition of prophecy is just repeating what God is thinking now. What God... will is for this situation. What God is saying about that situation. I need to hear from God. And actually, we all need to hear from God. Because one, I need to know how to pray for somebody. And in Romans 8, it says, we don't know how to pray for things as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But that's one of the reasons why God has given us a Spirit. So we can count, we can go to the Spirit, Lord, I need to know, how do you want me to pray about this situation? Because there's nothing that God can't do. Amen? And there's a whole lot of things I can't do. Amen? Talked at a funeral today, or this past week, and had a pretty busy week, but... there was people who really had needs there. They really needed to hear God speak to them. because that was the end. You know, they were there and the person died. That's the end of everybody's life. And they need to be ready. Because when the time comes, it's time, that's when it is. And then once after, that's eternal. But it's Christ, it's God, it's Jesus in you, the hope of glory, amen? What people need to hear is what is God saying, amen? Because his word does not return to him void. And that's why we have the Spirit of God. It's given to us to reveal to us Jesus Christ. But in revealing Jesus, he's revealing the word. He's revealing God's will. He's revealing God's purpose. And not only that, he does some other things too. And 23, and Jesus answered, if any person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. Anyone who does not really love me does not observe, obey my teaching. And the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but it comes from the Father who sent me. So anytime I teach or anytime you would teach, well, I don't teach any. Yes, you do. You speak to people. God's going to use you to help somebody else see something. But I don't need to be, I can't be too hard, I can't be too soft, I gotta be, it's gotta be right, amen? It's gotta hit the bullseye. And the only way that's gonna happen is if I'm walking with God. As it says in Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, God wants and is really talking to you. He wants to talk to me and to you more and more and more. He wants us to get it, that he is actually speaking to me. I had an instance happen, Jeff, you shared that with me Wednesday, what God had revealed to you about the bread. So I'm in the jail, and this guy that I went in with, he says, how's your granddaughter, the oldest one? And then I listened, I said, oh, he's doing okay, and I don't get to see her a lot. She has two jobs, and I wondered why he singled her out. He knows Danny. So just before the guys come into the room, he says, well, he told me something had happened, and I ain't going to say what it is, but he told me something had happened, and he says, I looked down, and I seen her there, and I seen something written across her chest. And he says, I looked again, and it wasn't there, and then I looked, and it was there. And I thought, you know, something like that, somebody just shared that with something like that yesterday. So how God puts those things together. Jeff's children are being taught of the Lord. Your children are being taught of the Lord. My children are being taught of the Lord. Hear that, Dave? And so are the grandkids, amen? Yeah, we have something to do with it. We got to seek God. But when we trust God, what his promises, our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. Amen? I'm sure my mom prayed for me. And when I was running from God and I got in trouble, I prayed. I knew I prayed. And God protected me. Why did he protect me? I don't know why. I didn't deserve to be protected. I knew better. I was running from God. And God didn't have to bring me back, but he did. Thank God he did. So I'm never going to be the same, huh? I'm never going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. He is changing you into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You and I are God's workmanship. We're not changing ourselves into his image. He's doing it by his Spirit. Amen? Now, the way he does things are not the way I would do things. And that's why my flesh doesn't pick up on what's going on. But the Spirit in me, if I get closer, I get to him, the more I'm going to see him, that he is actually changing me. You know, like, boy, you would have got mad, or you would have done this before. Or, you know, he'll reveal these things to you when you need to see them. Amen? Wow. And some people, and I've said this before, and I'm not going to go through it again, but God used me to pray for somebody, and like I said, that's what we're saying today. I didn't heal them. I just prayed for them. God healed them. And then after the healing, you know, I got to talk to them, and they didn't recognize they had a healing. So I said, hey, Remember you had a you had this problem and you were so upset about it? Yeah. And somebody said, well, that other hospital must have made a mistake because they can't find nothing. No, they didn't make a mistake. God did it. Amen?
The devil's
not going to give God the glory. He's going to give him some kind of excuse why they don't have it now. But it's God in you. It's God in you. It's God in me. And the things that we read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's God working through a human being. And you're a human being, okay? We're human beings. Like passions, as they had. But God is able. I thought about Moses. In a sense, as we were worshiping the Lord, it just came to me, you know, Moses could be looked at as a failure. You know, he just blew it. God had a call in his life and he killed somebody. That was not what he called him to do. Amen? Then he has to run away in the wilderness for 40 years watching sheep. But God chooses the things that are not. He don't have any army. He doesn't have anything. But he goes down there with the word of God. He goes down there with God, with the word of God. And God sets the captive free. And God wants to use you. God wants to use me to set the captive free. You see something or you come across something and you want to help. You want to help so bad. But it's like, I don't know how to get through. And I ran into that Thursday night. But in my flesh, in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing in me that's going to meet their need. Not in the flesh. But in the spirit there is. God's in you. God's in me. So I gotta back off. I gotta, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to do it? God, and praying all the time, Lord, minister to this guy. Minister to this guy. And again, like I say, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And that happened several times with some other places we went where a man had terrible pain. Three different weeks we went there and he was in terrible pain. And by the end of the meeting, he was completely delivered from the pain. And that wasn't, it wasn't us. We didn't do anything. We prayed in the beginning, but it didn't seem like it did anything. But then we just started worshiping God. That's what God said. He just said, worship me. And I'm thinking, how can we worship him? This guy's got a headache. He's in pain. He's really in pain. And so we just started singing, because that's what God said to do. And I didn't know what else to do. And we just started singing. But every time, three weeks in a row, but every time we left, the pain was completely gone. God did it. He didn't do it the way I thought he would do it, but he did it. Every time it was a little bit different. But it's God in you. It's God in me. Okay, Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:22. And you men of Israel, listen to what I have to say. And then, of course, this is Peter. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to by God by the mighty works and the power of performing wonders and signs which God worked through him right in your midst, as you yourselves know. So it was God working his mighty power through Jesus Christ in these signs and wonders and miracles. That's what Jesus said, and this is what Peter is saying, or really what the Holy Spirit is saying. So it's God working through him. And then we go to just to save time, we all know this verse. It's God that's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, when you tie it together with this, it's not just in everything. It's when God calls you to pray for somebody, or you're running across somebody and they say, could you pray for me? Or they're telling you their problem, and then you feel something inside like, boy, I wish I could help. Well, then you pray for them. But don't look at yourself. Look at God. And understand that God's in you. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Amen? You're not depending on you, you're depending on God. The children of Israel didn't go into the promised land at first because they looked at the giants and said, we're not able to do this. And yeah, they were not able to do it. But God said, I'm with you. Go, and then I'll go, like Masako was saying, go, and I'll go there. I'll push, I'll drive them out. One time, one place, he says, I'll destroy them, and then you can drive them out. He'll take care of them. He'll whittle them down to where you can push them out. But it's God is working in you, both to will, to want to do it, and then the power, and it means power, authority to do it. Go to Philippians 2, 20, 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. We're going to skip the guy at the beautiful gate. But what Paul said there, or Peter said, was, you know, men and brethren, why do you look on us as though by our power or our holiness we've made this man to walk? It's the name of Jesus, through faith in that name, has made this man whole. Yea, the faith which is by him. But again, just like we used the by before and it was through, there's other translations, and most of the other translations say the faith that is through him. Because what is Jesus? No, according to our faith, what is Jesus?
The author and finisher
of our faith. And when you go back into those words, I mean, I don't have time, but it just brings it out. You'll see it amplified here. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out. Cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Okay, next. Not in your own strength. And that's not in our own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. While effectually at work in you, He's effectually working in you all the time, energizing, creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. For His pleasure. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. His pleasure. Working in you that which is well-pleasing. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. They're connected together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. It all goes together. And we don't have time to get into it like He was showing it, but it's there. He's at work in you. He's at work in me, developing me to the place where He can use me in the capacity He has chosen me to be. And all the while, your fleshly mind is telling you, I can't. You can't. You can't. But if you listen to that still small voice, you focus on what He has said, what He has said to us, what He has said to us. Say that again. What He has said to us. Not just what He said to somebody else. What is He saying to you? God wants this relationship with you. Each one of us have to have this relationship with God. But when we come together, because we have that relationship, then we can get fed from the prayer. We can get fed from testimonies. We can get fed from prophecies. We can get fed. And a prophecy also is like when you're at home and you think about somebody and you think, I gotta call that, something comes in your mind, why should you tell that person? And you think, well, next time I see him, I'll tell him or tell her. Don't wait. Do it. Why? Because you're apt to forget it. And just like Jeff did, he wrote it down. God used to wake me up in the middle of the night and I'd have these thoughts. Wow, that's really great. And I think, boy, I'll never forget that. Then I wake up in the morning and, oh man, I remember he gave me that wonderful, I can't even remember what it was. So then I got a habit of putting a tablet and a pen by my bed so I didn't have to get out of bed. So when God speaks to you or when God brings somebody across your path to pray for them, Smith Wigglesworth used to say, he didn't pray for anybody. He says he stopped doing that. I mean, so I meet somebody on the street, he says, I pray for them right there. And when he'd go to bed, he'd say, good night, Lord. He didn't say, now I lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord my soul to keep. Because he was praying with God all day. Walking in the Spirit all day. He said he were driving somewhere, and they went for a little while, and this other guy, like I said, he didn't write anything. People wrote about him. And he said, stop the car. Stop the car. We've been together for so long, we haven't prayed. And he started praying. He wouldn't read anything but the Bible. Wouldn't let a newspaper in a house. Didn't want to read about it. That's during World War II. But he wanted his connection to be just with God. And again, it's something that God draws us into, and it's something that we develop, that he develops in us. It's God that's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When they healed the guy at the beautiful gate, it says that the faith which is by him, well, like I said, through him, the faith that was through him. Jesus is the author and the finisher. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 12, 2. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. He begun it. He's the source of it. Giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And actually another verse says he's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for me. He knows exactly what I need, more than I know what I need. And he's praying for us. He always gets his prayers answered. Our part is to believe that. But Jesus is the source of our faith. And that's why it is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If we keep our eyes on him, he's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless. Whatever weakness we have, he can strengthen us in it. Even in our weakness, he is made strong. That's what the Bible says. Even in our weakness, he is made strong. John 5, 19. John 5, 19. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, his son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord. And that's the way it should be with us too. But he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. And this is what God wants us to get to the place where we're seeing it. I don't mean in our natural eye, but just maybe a vision or a closed vision or an open vision or just seeing in our spirit. Whatever he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way and in his turn. Okay, 20. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses to, shows him everything that he himself does. That he himself does, and he will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. This is for the glory of God. This is so that boldness is given into the people. But it's God working by the Spirit of God. And after that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, look, God's going to show me some greater things than these, that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. God's just getting started. My dad's just getting started. You're going to see some great, mighty things. Again, Jesus did it not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. And we're the Son of Men. Women and men. We're the Son. We're the sons of God. 30, verse 30. I am able to do nothing from myself. From myself. Independently of my own accord. But only as I am taught by God. And as I get His orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. And as a voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, it's just, it's righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I need help with that. Lord, I need help with that. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I need help with that. My own aim, my own purpose, I need help with that. But only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Change my heart, O God. Change our hearts, Lord, so that our will is to do your will completely, to just be submitted to your will and your purposes. O God, to humble ourselves and just submit ourselves to God and allow Him to be God. Go to 1 Corinthians, this is the last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but I have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as that is inspired by God's love for and in us. Again, this is God's inspiration. It's God's love. It's not our love. If we lean to our own understanding, we lean to our own love, we'll do the wrong thing to the wrong people. I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. See, I need God's love perfected in me more and more and more. And then the less I'll be a noisy gong and a cymbal. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. No. More and more, I want to be able to speak God's words completely. That's my pressing towards that mark. Okay, next. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all secrets and truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing and a useless nobody. Oh, man. Ah. And I remember somebody saying to me one time, they said, and that's exactly the way I felt. And that verse, we quote a lot in Matthew 7. Many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesy in name, we cast out devils in name, done wonderful, wonderful works in your name, depart from your workers of iniquity. I don't know you. And they said to me, why? That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I want. I said, yeah, I know. That's what I want too. And God wants me to be there. God wants me to get there. But the only way I get there is to get into Him. Amen? That is the safety. That is the safety. I went through this course, and this guy was saying to me, he has his own church, now a big church, and he has a big ministry. Big ministry name. And he said him and his wife were in England, and they were a part of this other church. They were just helping out there. And they had this guy come every year, and he was a prophet. And so they were anxiously waiting to see what he would say to them, because they were seeking God to know what to do next. And so he said, they went through the whole service. I've been there. Went through the whole service. And he was closing. And there says, we were happy for the people he talked to, because he says, he would call things out. He says, it was perfect. It was just perfect. And he stopped in the middle of his closing prayer, and he says, he looked at my wife and said, and he started rattling off things. He knew things about her that I didn't know. He says, the guy was fantastic. I mean, his prophecies were right on. So he's teaching this thing, see. So it gets towards the end of the course, 10 hours or 12 hours later, you know. And I'm thinking, well, he doesn't mention the names, the guy's name. Who is the guy? You know? Where is he? I want to go. You know? Well, it turned out the guy went haywire. Somehow, some way, Satan got in there. And he just got off the track. And he lost his ministry, lost everything. But it was God working through the guy. The prophecies were right on. And what he said about them, his wife, and then them, and it happened. And so he kept in touch with the guy. In fact, he went with him several times. But he noticed some things about him, and he says, but, you know, I just thought. But anyway, he that standeth, take heed lest he fall, right? But the most important thing, the next verse. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long, is patient, kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. And remember, God is love. Amen? God is love. And when we feel compassion for people, when we want to help people, you know, that's the love of God in us. And again, it's another incentive for us to get closer to God, so I know exactly what He wants me to say, or what I am to pray, or maybe He wants to tell them something that they really need to hear, that I can't see with my natural eye, or I can't perceive in my own self. Because all these things are the gifts of the Spirit. They're the gifts of the Spirit. So it's God working in you. It's God working in them. Or it's God working with them when signs and wonders following. It's God. It's God. So seek Him first and His righteousness. And in seeking Him, as we get to know Him is to love Him. And so, I don't know what happened to that guy, but maybe he got to the place where he was satisfied. And, you know, he's got this ministry and everything. But hunger and thirst after righteousness. We just got to keep hungering. And that's like Paul said, I pray. I'm not apprehended all that I've been apprehended for, but I press towards the mark. I want to press towards the mark. Not to be better than somebody else, but to be able to be God's hand extended, amen? To be able to speak a word that would bless somebody else, knowing that this is God speaking to them, amen? Or praying for them and ministering to them. And they're going to turn around and say, oh, you know, I just really appreciate this. Well, you can accept it in the sense that, thank you, but it's God, amen? But you've got to accept it too. I'm learning that. I've got to accept it too, because if God says to somebody to say it, then you need to hear it. They need to hear it. Amen? Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning. Father, I just pray and pray, God, as you promised to write this on their hearts, wherever we're at with you, God, whatever we need, you want to give it to us. We need more love. We need more faith. We need more desire. There's something in our life that we just can't get the victory over. You told us, Lord, we have not, so we simply don't ask. have everything. And the Bible tells us that we are complete in our union with Jesus Christ, that we are complete in Him. And that your spirit, as we seek you, your spirit is forming Christ in us. And as Paul said, I pray till Christ be, I travail in prayer till Christ be formed in you. You are forming your Son's nature in us, His spirit in us, so that we get more and more like you, like your Son, like you. And Jesus' prayer is that we all would be one, even as you and His Father was one, that you and Him were one, and that we would be one with you and your Father. And you and your Father want to come and abide in us, and you're in us. Help us to acknowledge you. Father, we just pray this right now. And I pray, God, that each one would enter into the fullness of what you have for them, God. That whatever is hindering from the enemy would be broken, would be as you did before the Israelites. The walls would be torn down, that they would be able to go in there and clean up what is left. And they would go on and fulfill the call and purpose wherewith you have called and chosen them. Father, I pray it right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus came to Bethesda's tomb, where the cripple did wait for the water to move.
What do you need today? Everybody should have something they need from God. That's what He's saying to us this morning. You know, what do you want? What do you need? Yes.
That still rings in my ears.
Jesus.
Wilt thou be made whole?
Yes.
Do you want a new life?
You want a new life? Yes. Lord, we want to get closer to you, Lord.
Wilt thou be made whole?
And believe in
Christ.
Do you want to be
one? Do you want to be
one? White as the snow.
God's question to you.